Okay, Mark chapter 9. We have to remember that in Mark chapter 9, as we look at the first part of this chapter, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and there with Peter, James, and John. If you remember, Peter said, oh, let us build three temples here, right? One for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And God spoke up from the clouds and said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Peter, hush. And so, of course, that's important for us to know. Jesus saw Moses and Elijah, was transfigured, took on a heavenly appearance. And then they came down from that mountain and they were returning. So Jesus and three of the apostles were returning back to the rest of the apostles. And that's where we pick up in verse number 14. He came to his disciples and saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. So as these four are coming back, they notice a big crowd gathered around part of the church, the disciples. And I don't know about you, but it makes me wonder, what's going on down there, right? And that's about what Jesus said when he got there. He said, why are you questioning them? What's going on? It was like an interrogation. There was a problem. There was a tension, if you will, between the disciples and the scribes, are specifically named here. What were scribes? Give me another term for scribes. They were lawyers. They were writers, but they were recorders. They were lawyers. They were the officials. And so, you know, as you come up and you see your child, right, talking to a law enforcement officer, you go, oh, what's going on here, right? Even though you might know, but you still, you know, what's going on here? And that's how Jesus was walking up on, and he sees his disciples being questioned by the scribes and the crowd. So there's tension. And Jesus asked the question, and in fact, he couldn't even get there. Verse 15 says, they broke away from that gathering, and they all started running toward Jesus, right? Because he's got the answers. He's the one we need to talk to. They beheld him, and they were greatly amazed, and running to him, they saluted him. What does that mean, they saluted him? Right? They were just so happy to see him, like Forrest Gump, right? They were just so happy to see him there. And Jesus asked the scribes, what question you with them? Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out. They could not. So this man speaks up instantly. And he says, it's me. But I brought my son to Jesus, right? I brought him to you. But who did he get instead? He got the church. Guys, understand something. When people bring you here, they're not bringing you to the church. They're trying to get you to Jesus, right? When the church comes to you, it's not that we want you to see us. We want you to see Jesus. And he said, I was bringing him to you, but you weren't here. You were off doing something else. And so I got the disciples. And I know the disciples can do this stuff. Like they can cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. I know they could do it. So here's my question. Why couldn't they fix my boy? Wow. Here's a dad that's desperate, isn't he? I brought my son to church. I brought my son to Sunday school. And the teachers taught him. And he was there and he listened. But why didn't he turn out perfect? Right? Why didn't he come out? Of course, I'm not talking about mine, right? Why didn't he turn out perfect? But that's what people wonder. I brought him to Jesus. Why couldn't you fix him? And we know the disciples could do it. So he was kind of, you know, he got the attorneys involved. He got the officials involved. They won't help my son. And they're all asking, well, why won't you help the man's boy? Why won't you fix the man's son? Why won't you do something for him? Hey, you come out here and you heal all these people and we hear stories about water turning to wine and walking on water and all this kind of stuff, and can't you do something? And the apostles are like, we tried. We did what we could. Sorry he's not any better, but we did what we could. And Jesus says in verse number 19, they brought him, verse 19, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? How long do I tolerate this?" Now, well, that's a big question, isn't it? How long does Jesus tolerate our lack of faith? How long does Jesus tolerate our lack of example? Now, we are the church. You understand, as I look around, I see a few visitors here and there, but for the most part, the people in this room have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been baptized, and you're a member of the church, or maybe you're not a member of this church, some of you, but you're a member of another church. And what is the church's role? Go ye, not pay somebody else. Go ye, not appoint somebody else. Go ye into the world. That's the everything out there beyond these walls. And preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a life of perfection. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. And he was buried and rose the third day and is on the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. That if you will believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the gospel. And so it says, preach the gospel and baptize them. And baptize them. Why did we get baptized? Well, it represents that we're burying that old man. And we're risen to walk in newness of life. So we're, as the church, we're supposed to be encouraging people to be baptized. And then he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What is that? We call that discipleship. That means they were trying to teach you. We just talked about all these dads having great influence. You know, teaching us how to change tires and change oil and change shingles and change, you know, fix plumbing and whatever else we can think of. Right? Do big things. Go fishing. Right? Bait the hook and take the fish off the hook. All that stuff that dads do, and they teach and they share, but it's our job to share the gospel and then to walk alongside of our friends who have been saved and help them grow in Christ. That's our job. And Jesus says, how long do I have to keep putting up with this? How long do I suffer you? Y'all don't believe. He said, y'all don't believe. Y'all don't really believe. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the man whose son is sick. He's talking to the church. Y'all don't believe. Y'all don't have faith. Y'all are not living faith. Why? He says they brought him. They brought the boy to him. And when Jesus saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed and foaming. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He's been this way a long time. And oftentimes it casts him into the fire or into the water to destroy him or to kill him. And here's this dad, look at this. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Here's a desperate father. We always think there are things that we won't do. We draw the line, right? As a father, I'm going to draw the line. And then our child gets in a situation and we compromise. Child gets in a situation and we cross that line because that's my boy, right? If it's your boy, it's one thing. I can tell you how you should do as a parent, but I'll tell you what, they're my kids, right? So when it's our kids, it's different. We have all these ideas about what we would do if our son ever did this and then our son does it. And what do? We rescue them. Why? Because we're dads. And moms, I know you do the same thing. We're parents. There are children. We love them. And yes, I know there are some times in some situations where tough love is the only answer, where you just have to let them deal with it on their own, and you can't save them, and you can't rescue them. It's their deal. They did it. There are some times where you have to do that. And you hope you're never put in that situation, but the reality is, in those situations, tough love is the only answer. Best answer. This man is desperate for his son. He wants to help his son. He'll do anything. He'll go against the scribes and the officials. He'll go against the crowd. He'll ask these people who are the rebels of the country. He'll go to them that nobody believes in, but he believes. He said, look, I'm desperate. I'll do anything. And so he goes to Jesus. He gets the church. The church can't do it. Let me tell you this. The church can't get you to heaven. The church can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. You say, well, I'm going to join the church so I can go to heaven. It won't help you. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. I trust you as my Savior, and I give my life to you. That's salvation. Church can't get you to heaven. But once you're saved, you get in the church and you learn about God, get baptized, of course. Start walking with Jesus, walking in faith. This desperate father says, just anything, whatever you can do, have compassion on us. Help us. If you can do anything, even a small thing, right? If you could just reduce the attacks that he has, help us. I need hope. I need at least a little bit of help, a little bit of hope, anything. Jesus says in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. People say, well, you say that, but you could believe that you could fly, but you still can't fly. Tell that to the Wright brothers. I'm not saying you can fly by flapping your wings, but if you want to get up there, there's a way. Guys, it's about having imagination and creativity and faith. And that means when you say, well, I believe that God can do great things in my life, then we've got to surrender to God all of it. By the way, God's done many great things. Don't have a thing in the world to do with worldly success. God can use you, but you got to believe. You got to trust Him. You got to give it all to Him. If you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, what a statement. Help my unbelief. He said, I believe, but help me where I fall short. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, I believe there's a God, but I just don't know if the Bible is true. Well, then pray and say, God, help me see where I'm wrong. You say, well, I believe, and I believe the Bible is true, and I'm a church man or a church woman, and I just believe. I say to God, help me where I don't believe. Help me where I fall short. I wonder, where's our unbelief? How do we fall short in faith? Where do we fall short in faith? In what areas of our lives do we fall short in trusting God? Is there some part where we don't trust God? Maybe we don't trust Him enough with our children or our marriage or our job or our future or our money. Don't trust Him enough. Lord, help my unbelief. I trust in you. Help my unbelief. And that's what the man said when Jesus saw the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more to him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and so much many said, he is dead. And went into convulsions, throwing himself around and bouncing around. Jesus cast that devil out of him. They all thought he was dead. Verse 27, Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Why? Because the Father said, I know it's not the traditional way, but I'm going to try whatever it takes to get my son better. Maybe the biggest thing we need to know is that the Father believed in His Son. He believed in His Son. And because He believed in His Son, that led Him to go to Jesus. Guys, we've got to believe in people. We've got to have confidence in people. We've got to keep our hope alive for people. Many times we could have given up on others. And by the way, many times others could have given up on us. We got to love people, trust people, have confidence in people, believe in people, and pray for people, putting our hope in God. as this father did. And Jesus answered his prayer. Verse 28 says, well, we tried, Lord, the disciples, when they were alone with Jesus, they said, well, Lord, we tried. Why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Again, that's one of my favorite terms, verses in the Bible. Why? Because Jesus is saying to the disciples, to the church, you have to be ready when it hits. But if you think that you can be lazy and careless, but then in the trial, you're going to be strong enough. In the trial, you're going to have the wisdom. In the trial, you're going to know the right answer. He said, you're going to miss out. This, you've got to prepare yourself. You've got to ready yourself. You've got to always be ready. What do you think if America just decided we weren't going to have any more police on the payroll or military on the payroll, but just what we'll do is, look, if we need you, we'll call you. What do you think about that? Right? Everybody just go home and live your lives. If we think we're about to go to war, we'll call you and we'll get ready for war. Is that how it works? No, that's not how it works. Right? Well, you just don't worry about being police anymore. Go get you a job as, you know, in the hardware store or whatever. And if we need somebody with, judicious experience and justice, we'll call you and you can come in and fill in. No, they got to be ready. The police have to be ready. They have to train. They have to be taught. Same thing with the military. They got to be ready. Right? Same thing with all the public safety that we can think of. They got to be ready. And what he's saying to the disciples is, guys, obviously your prayer life's not strong enough. Obviously you're not close enough to the Lord. Right? In those days of miracles, and I believe miracles still happen because God's still at work. But in that day of miracles, when the apostles were doing what they were doing, they still had to be ready. They had to have personal devotion. They had to have prayer time. But see, we don't go to church and we don't read our Bible and we don't pray. And then we wonder why everything falls apart. Why? Because we weren't ready. Because when life came at us, we weren't prepared. That's why. Even those who were leadership in the church didn't have their prayer life right. We've got to spend time with the Father. We've got to talk to God. We need to pray. Not just before we eat. We need to talk to the Lord about our lives and about our thoughts and about our family and friends and needs. Because they come out when the rubber meets the road, as they say, it's going to prove what kind of life we've been living. When crisis comes and everything falls apart, people are going to see what our relationship with God is really all about. Again, doesn't mean we don't grieve and have sorrow and heartache and all that kind of stuff, but how do we face it? Do we have the power and the strength to go forward? Because Jesus said, these you have to prepare for. You have to prepare ahead of time for these. Would you stand? Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for fathers and all these wonderful testimonies we've heard today about dads. Oh, we thank you for our children. God, I'm thankful for those who have made this world a safe place for my children. I pray that you will guide us and strengthen us that we can be good examples and good leaders. Loving fathers. God, when it comes to faith, they will see Jesus in us because we know of a truth that when people come to church, they're not coming to see us, they're coming to see Jesus. They're not coming only for our fellowship, but they're coming to be in your presence. And I pray they will find that here in this room, in this place among these people. And I hope that they have felt it today. God, do your work in us in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you need to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Christ. You could do that right now. Where you stand. right now. This is your opportunity. Struggling with it. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me where I fall short. Well, Pastor, if I have trouble believing, how do you pray to somebody you don't believe in? Start there. God, help my unbelief. Glad you came this morning. Happy Father's Day. Thanks for those who came to support one another on Father's Day and support your dad. We do have baptism. You want to go ahead and go get ready? Three to baptize this morning? Two or three? Two. Two to baptize. We need one more. One more. I'm just kidding. Brother, you got something to play? If you will, be seated. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock Wednesday night. There's no service this week on Wednesday because we're going to have Bible school. We'll have Bible school each night at 6 o'clock. And then next week we have camp. And so pray for the young people as we have this week and next week dedicated to the young people.